already know who I am, most of you probably. I lead a Bible study over there in Catherine with some ladies, a very small group. But we're trying to learn more from the Word of God, and the aim is to get hearts that are devoted to God and to grow in our spiritual walk. And when I was coming over, it was a very spur of the moment. I literally just decided to come over last Wednesday, and I started thinking, I wonder if they'll have ladies' meeting. I might just take my notes, just in case, you know. And so I just grabbed the whole folder, and literally the next day Mum texted and said, we're having Bible study on a Saturday. Do you want to teach? And I said, yes, I've been praying about it. And the Lord obviously wanted me to do it because he made me pack it and then you asked. So then it was like, oh, I have no idea which lesson I'm going to actually teach. So then I had to really pray, and I had two tossing up in my head. I didn't know whether I was going to afflict the comfortable or comfort the afflicted. So I've decided to comfort the afflicted tonight because I just gave a lesson to my ladies that was afflicting the comfortable. A bit more convicting, but I just felt like this one was on my heart, and this one just kept popping up everywhere I turned. This word rest was jumping out at me. Maybe it's because it's something I'm really not good at doing, and that's one of the reasons I'm over here, is not just to see family, but is to have a bit of a break, because we're flat out in our business and I'm not going to get any more breaks till maybe a year from now. So, and I've got some trouble with my arm and I need to give that a break, so I don't know if that's why, but I know that I need to preach this to myself because I need this lesson. And I just thought about rest when I was looking at this lesson, and I thought, why is it we feel so guilty when we're resting? Where do we get this idea that we have to constantly be doing something? We've got to be, you know, doing all these things. We're juggling all our roles and responsibilities as mothers, wives, even teenagers. They've got their, you know, things that they're doing, maybe schooling, maybe jobs, but we just get this, oh, guilty. We couldn't rest. We can't rest. We've got to keep going. We have these super high expectations of what life should look like as women. And we need to do this and we need to do that, and we've got to get this done and this done. And we set up this huge standard of achievement, and we're trying to do everything and accomplish our goals. Well, goals are good and we need to accomplish our goals. But what I find is that we often end up working in our own strength and not taking that time out to let the Lord lead and guide. And I just started reading this book actually on the plane, and so I found a lot more that I added to my notes, so hopefully I won't go too long. But she said this, and I really liked it, and I felt like I needed to read it out. She said, unlike Jesus, we attempt to live life in our own energy. We think we can keep giving out without getting replenished. Then, wearied and weakened by the demands of life and ministry, we become impatient and annoyed with the very ones God has sent us to serve. Rather than exhibiting a gracious, calm, joyous spirit, we become uptight, frazzled, and frenzied women, resenting rather than welcoming the people and opportunities that God brings into our lives. And we may feel guilty resting, but God calls us to rest. I'm going to be jumping all over passages tonight, so if you want to turn, otherwise I'm just going to, I've got them everywhere, so you might want to just listen. He wants us to rest from physical labor. He wants us to rest from fear, from worry, from anxiety. He wants us to rest in our salvation. And we read so many verses in the scriptures. Psalm 37 is a beautiful psalm. And in verse 7, the first part, it says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. And I've written something previously about patiently waiting. And that's my issue. I can wait, but not patiently. No, patient is not in my vocabulary. And I've had to, you know, really learn that. And we have to rest in the Lord. And then in Matthew 11:28, it's a very well-known passage too. I love this passage, especially as women. I feel like we can really relate. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And that word rest is talking about taking our ease, refreshing, reposing. One dictionary says to cause or permit one to cease from movement or labor in order to recover and collect his strength. And my paraphrase of that verse is, come unto me, all you who are weary, tired, worked to exhaustion, and loaded down with burdens, and I will give you refreshment, calm, and quiet. And I love that verse because it's such a promise that says if we come unto him, he'll give us rest. And in Mark 6:31, he says to the disciples after a long day of ministry, he says, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. Well, we find that so many times as women, you know, we're rushing around here and we don't even have time to stop and eat because we're just so busy. We don't have time to sit for 3 minutes and eat. I tell my husband all the time when he's driving the truck, can't you just, you know, when you just stopped, and can't you just, you know, eat then? Like, you can just stop for 5 minutes. No, I've got to keep going. And it's like, well, surely 5 minutes is, you know. But then I do the same thing. And the interesting thing, like when the Lord says in Matthew, come unto me, and he says, come apart, he didn't give the disciples a list of requirements. The only requirement was being weary. He didn't say all these other things. He simply said, come. And to me, that's an open invitation to all of us. Come. It's an invitation for all of us to come. It applies to us all, not just to the apostles. And we know that God himself even rested. We also know that it says in Isaiah that he fainteth not, neither is weary. It says that the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. So then you look at him in Mark when he's in the big storm and the waves are beating in the ship and the water's coming in, and where's Jesus? He's asleep. And I think, well, it said he's not tired, but you know what? This is my little weird brain. Was Jesus sleeping to test their faith? Just let them go, you know, are we going to trust this case looks hopeless. It's a big storm. And does he even care? Look, he's asleep. Are they going to trust anyway? Sometimes I think maybe he just fell asleep just to see what they would do and whether they would trust him, you know, because I don't think he was tired, but he did rest. And it wasn't because he was tired. It's because he wants an example. He wants to show us an example that we need to stop at times. We need to rest from our labors. On the seventh day, when he created the heavens and the earth, and we talk about on the seventh day, he ended his work, which he'd made, and he rested on the seventh day. And then in Exodus it says, for 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and he hallowed it. So he stopped from his work, and he rested. And he set an example for us to follow, to let us know that it's okay to rest. And not only is it okay, it's important. It's something we need to do. Yes, work is important. And there's so many verses in the Bible about work and not being lazy, even though the word lazy is not in there. In Proverbs 14:23, it says, in all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury, which is poverty. And then in Proverbs 10:4, he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. So there's many, many verses that say, don't be lazy, you need to work. But there's also a lot that say, rest, be still, stop. And we need to not only rest from our work, but we need to work from rest. We need to work out of rest. So we need to rest so that we're able to work. And sometimes we get it messed up. And we can become so consumed by our work that we don't rest and we neglect our worship of him. And that's the most important thing. It's not that we all just need to sleep, because I was tired this afternoon. I really need to sleep, and I try to sleep. And sometimes we do. We just need to sleep. But sometimes we just get so consumed by everything that we don't take that time out to really worship him. And I find that when I'm resting, I'm more able to worship. Because if I'm sitting enjoying a beautiful sunset, I find myself drawn to worship. Because how can you not look at the clouds? How can you not look at the clouds tonight? Beautiful sunset. How can you not look at that and know that there's a creator in heaven that loves you? And it's just going, pow, worship me, look what I've done. Not in a proud sense, but just unbelievable. How can we not worship God by looking at his creation? And we need to pursue those moments of joy that drive us to praise the Lord and take those times out to rest. And if we're busy running here, they're like little ants, we neglect things. We're going to neglect the important things. And the Bible tells us, Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. I have a real trouble with that being still part, because it's just so difficult to be still. And in Psalm 4, it says, stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Selah. Selah is, I'm just actually reading a book on finding Selah. It's talking about rest and it's talking about that pause, that break. And it's quite interesting, that word. But that word still is actually the same Hebrew word as the word rest. So we can say that God's saying, just stop, just rest. And he calls us to rest. He wants us to take time out of our busy days and sit and be still. And there's lots of times in the Bible that we read where people sat to listen to the Lord. And one of them with the miracle of the 5 loaves and 2 fishes in Mark 6:39, he says, and he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. Now, if you guys were all mingling and walking around while I was trying to teach, you wouldn't get as much in. You wouldn't be able to take as much in as sitting. And that's why, you know, with Sunday school, you're trying to get the kids to sit while you're teaching, unless you're acting a story out, which they will remember. But I think it's so important to just sit and just listen. And I think the Lord made them sit, one, because he's a God of order, and he knew with that many people, okay, we need to sit in companies, we're going to pass this food out, we need to do it orderly, like we do when we have church fellowship, you know, you kids, you go first, and then these ones go first, let's do it orderly. But I think the second reason is that he wanted them to sit, to get the example of sitting to be fed, fed spiritually. We need to sit in order to be fed spiritually. We really need to just stop and rest and just think and focus and just stop all the craziness, the busyness. And, you know, everybody's got different lives, but I think we're all busy in our own ways, whether it's even just mentally sometimes we're really busy, you know, and we might not be actually running around. But if we take that time in our day to sit and rest before the Lord, he's so much more able to speak to us, because it's a lot harder to follow God's call if we're running too fast and we can't even hear him speak. If we're going so fast, we're not even going to hear that still small voice. But when you sit before the Lord and you have that quiet time with the Lord and you get into the word and you just quiet down everything, we can hear him speak to us. If we're really listening, we will hear him speak. If we can tune out everything else, and we know that true rest comes from resting in the Lord. Like, as much as, you know, this over here coming as a break, it's a change of location, it's not going to bring me true rest. It's going to bring me a rest from my physical body, maybe a short little break, and okay, but all too soon I'm back in that. I'm back in the busyness. I'm back in go, 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 go. So when we sit before the Lord and listen to him, we need to really be listening to him. And sometimes we're guilty, like in the book of Isaiah 28:12, it was spoken to the southern kingdom of Judah. It said, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear. They didn't want to hear what God said. They didn't want to hear that God was the rest and refreshing. They didn't want to accept him as the Messiah. And God is truly our rest. As much as all these other things, going on a holiday, you know, lying on the beach, whatever might be rest, it's God that's the one that we really need to rest in. And he's the one that we need to run to when we're overwhelmed. I love the verse in Psalm 61. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Have had many times when my heart was overwhelmed, and the rock that was higher than I was what saved me from sinking. I clung to that rock, and that's what kept me going. It wasn't a sinking sand. And it's just so important that God knows how we are. He knows how busy we are. He knows that we just feel like we just got to keep going and we can't stop because we won't get everything done in our day. And he knows the importance. And so he modeled it for us. And in Mark 1:35, it says, and in the morning, this is talking about Jesus. This is Jesus doing this. Rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and prayed. Why in the world did Jesus need to pray? He's praying to his Father, and he knows that this was going to set us an example. What's the key in that verse? Rising early in the day and going to a solitary place. Now, who likes to get up really early in the day? I find it the best part of the day, but it is hard work, and it takes discipline, and it's not fun. And if you've got little babies and you've been up all night, nobody wants to get up early. If they're asleep, stay in bed. And you might have to find a different time. But he knew, God knew, Jesus knew the importance of getting alone with God. And it says he rose up early in the day. And there's other times we find where Jesus goes aside and he prays, you know, when the disciples fell asleep because they were weary. But getting alone with God is where we're going to find his will. It's where we're going to get that refreshment and that renewal. And it's where we get our resources to fight the battles against the devil. It's where God infuses us with his power. We get away and we rest and we're refreshed and we're renewed. And we get that time we can breathe again. You know what I mean? When you can just stop and catch your breath. And it's just like busy, busy, busy. You sit down, have a cup of tea, and you know, and you get that, okay, I'm going to go again. And we shouldn't see it as an optional extra. We don't need to just tack on rest to our busy schedule. If we have time, I might, you know, maybe I'll have time this week sometime. It's essential to stay connected to the power source. And I just wrote something about that the other day, like a mobile phone that slowly drains of its power if you haven't got it plugged in. We're the same. We're going to drain of our power if we're not plugged into the source. And the source is God. He is our power source. He's the one that helps us to experience joy and peace. And he's the one that gets this fruit growing in our life, the fruit of the Spirit. We need to be working on those things. And we can't work on those things if we never stop. So we've got to stop, and we need to practice the presence of God. We need to take time out and worship him. However you do that, and we are all different, is up to you. But worship is a natural expression of our relationship with God. And we've got to learn to live in a way that that worship flows from our hearts, and it slows us down and it causes us to rest and stop and worship and think about everything that God's done in our life. And last time I was here, I think we spoke a little about a gratitude, and we all went around the room and we spoke about things that we were thankful for. And you can do that in your time with the Lord. You can take time out, worship him, thank him for everything you can think of. Don't just continually be asking, be thanking. And I'm going into all these other messages, they just keep popping up in my head. But anyway, I just gave a lesson, this last one, to the ladies on complaining and being content and things like that. And there's so much that we have to be thankful for. We look at 2020 and people just groan and, oh, what a hard year. And how and it was. And it was a difficult year for a lot of people. And a lot of people have suffered through that. But on the flip side, think of everything we've got to be thankful for. Like, we're still meeting. We're still fellowshipping. We have, you know, we had Zoom, we had Skype, we had different ways to communicate. We had so much, and I mean, the territory, we've really been blessed because we really don't see any of that over there. It's, you know, don't even really notice. But that's great. But we have so much to be thankful for. And just when you're worshipping, when you're taking that time out and sitting at Jesus' feet, you know, be thankful. Be remembering to thank him for all those things that we had this last year. That's just amazing that so many people don't have the hope that we have. They don't have the joy. So, of course, they're going to complain. They're going to whinge because their life has been shattered and messed up. But we still have that hope. If we lost everything, we're not going to lose our salvation. And isn't that the most important thing? Isn't that the thing, the eternal hope? Isn't that what, you know, we can take everything from me? Like Job, look at Job in the Bible. You know, everything taken from him. But he still had the Lord. That's totally off the subject, but it's not off the subject, so I put it in there. But, you know, I was thinking that, you know, the place to find rest, the perfect place is not on the beach. It's not wherever you find it. It's sitting at the feet of Jesus. And I love the story of Mary and Martha, and that's another lesson that I'll try not to get into, but I always get sidetracked with that one because I feel I can relate so much to those two women. And I always was Martha, 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 and I've learned to be more of a Mary. But we need a balance of both. We definitely need to be hospitable. We need to sit at Jesus' feet. And we know that Jesus rebuked Martha, and he told Mary that she chose the good part. She chose that one thing needful. And that's the thing. We've got to make a daily choice. It's like dying daily. Every day we've got to decide, am I going to sit at the Lord Jesus' feet? And am I going to listen to him speak to me? Am I going to take time out to pray? And we may not all have an hour, 2 hours. Everyone has different seasons. Everyone's in different seasons of life. We all have different jobs. Most mornings I have to get up and go straight away early, and I don't always get time, and I might only get 5 minutes to quickly read. But I try and find some other time in the day, if I can, to sit and have a longer time with the Lord, or listen to, you know, the Bible being read audibly in my ears if I'm busy, you know, running around. And we know David in the Psalms, he has a lot to say about worshipping the Lord. And I love in Psalm 27, that whole chapter is just so good, Psalm 27. But in verse 4, he says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. And I love that because he had that one thing that he desired. And then down in verse 8, it says, when thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. And I think, wow, what a response. The Lord says, seek my face, and he says, I will seek your face. So many times we're like, I don't have time. I don't want to seek your face. Why? And we make excuses. But David was eager to seek God's face because he knew that's where he got his power. That's where he could be strengthened. And in the last verse, I think it says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, they say, on the Lord. And that waiting is so difficult. It's just so hard, especially for me. And then I read this other quote in this book that I just thought was so good about getting into God's presence and taking that time. When I get into his presence, this is the Lord's presence, the whole world looks different. When I draw close to his heart, I find mercy. When I know I deserve judgment, I find forgiveness for all my petty, selfish ways. I find grace for all my inadequacies. I find peace for my troubled heart. I find perspective for my distorted views. In him, I find an eye in the midst of the storm, as in EYE. Oh, the storm around me may not immediately subside, but the storm within me is made calm. Let me read that last line again. The storm around me may not immediately subside, but the storm within me is made calm. And I love that God can calm the storm inside while everything around us is raging. COVID-19 is raging. Kids are tearing the house apart. Teenagers are back chatting. Whatever's going on, he can calm the storm inside you, even though there's a storm around you. You know what I mean? Like, it's just so amazing that God can do that for us. And God never says in his word, hurry up, move faster, come on, come on, come on, come on. No, he's always saying, be still, rest, wait, be still. It's just everywhere you look. And I'm just like, why is this so important? It's just so important, that's why. And my mum and my grandma, I think, used to say, I need to give my soul time to catch up to my body. I never understood that. I just was like, what in the world are they talking about? But do you know that actually comes from an African story about porters? It was African porters. There's a couple of stories, and I don't know which one's right, but it had to do with them carrying this load for this mission family, and they were carrying and going, crossing the rivers and climbing the mountains and, you know, go, 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 go. And then they stopped one day, and the missionary was like, why have you stopped? We've only been going a few hours. And they said, we need to give our souls time to catch up with our bodies. We went too fast yesterday. And, you know, that's where it came from. But the thing is that we've got to take time to build our reserves back. And it's not just physically, it's emotionally, it's spiritually. We've got to take that time. Rest is not just physical. We can't just expect to just have a sleep and everything's right. That sometimes is all we need. Sometimes when I'm stressed, whatever, I just need to sleep. 20 minutes, okay, and then I feel better. But it's not just physical, it's spiritual as well. And it's an emotion. We need to rest that way as well. And our souls have to catch up with our bodies because our bodies are like, ah! It's just crazy. And it's like, and our natural urge as women is to overcommit and burden ourselves with so much to do, saying yes to every little thing, and yep, I can go to every single service that's on sometimes we need to take the time to reflect and study and be quiet and just stop for a minute. And I read one dictionary, just a worldly dictionary definition, that said rest is to relax into something and let it support you. And I thought, Christ, relax into Christ, let him support you. Why are we trying to carry everything on our own? Why aren't we resting? You know, like a hammock, when it's tied properly, it doesn't fall out. Rest in it, let it support you, and you sink, and you lower yourself, and it's supporting you. And why do we not do that? Jesus is holding out his arms, and when we're going, I'm busy. No, rest in those arms. Let him support you. And resting, you know, is stopping. A lot of times it's stopping from our work, and sometimes we have to physically stop. Sometimes it's more of a rest in our mind. But rest, you know, means different things to us all. But there's a lot of physical benefits from rest. And I'm sure Joanna could put you in light of all this with all her health things. But rest is known to boost your immune system. Rest improves your memory. Rest restores and energizes. It stimulates your creativity. It helps with weight management. I haven't found that yet, but anyway. It helps you stay emotionally and mentally fit. It improves your concentration and your productivity. It improves your health. It makes you happier. So if physical reasons was only rest, they were the only reasons, well, that's good. But God is the great physician, and he already knew all these facts before we had to figure them out the hard way. You know, it was like, duh. Like, you know, he's been telling us to rest all this time, and then we have all these studies. Oh, rest helps this. It's like, yeah, the Bible's been telling us for ages. Duh. But, you know, why are some other reasons we need to rest? Because God rested, and he said it's important. Isn't that enough? Yes, really it is. You know what I mean? You know what? We don't have to. You know, people say, God said it. I believe it. That settles it. Well, who cares if you believe it? God settles it. That settles it. You know, God said it. That settles it. It doesn't matter if you believe it or not. And God said rest, and he said it's important. Isn't that enough? But no, we always need extra, you know. Extra, what else? That's not enough for me. Well, your body is weak, and it needs to recharge. Our bodies are not made to go 24/7, 7 days a week with no stopping. Sometimes you can keep that up for a few weeks, but pretty soon you're going to crash. And you make poor decisions when you're tired. Don't make big decisions when you're tired. Don't decide to buy a house when you're tired. You know what I mean? Like you make bad decisions when you're really tired, and everyone knows that. You can't serve others effectively when you're exhausted. In the ministry especially, pastors' wives, I'm sure, get exhausted, okay? And if you're exhausted, you're not going to be able to serve the people that God wants you to serve effectively. You might be able to do a kind of half job that's not really effective, but okay, I try my best. But you don't serve effectively when you're exhausted. And it gives you, that rest gives you that chance to just reflect and refocus on what's important in your life. Taking that step back and thinking about what is it important? What's important to me? What should I be focusing my energies on? Because sometimes we're focusing our energies all in the wrong place. Sometimes we need to stop, regroup with the Lord and let him lay out his plan again and show us where we're wrong. And rest requires trust. Because we've got to trust God that he's going to take care of everything. That the world is not going to stop turning if we stop. You know what I mean? You know, the washing, you know, we always say, the washing will still be there tomorrow. Yes, it will. The world is not going to stop turning if we rest. We don't want to be lazy, okay? We don't want to just lie in our beds watching Netflix 24 hours a day. That's just stupid and boring. But the world's not going to stop turning if we rest. And God will handle it. God's got this. Like, sometimes, you know, the girls, like Chloe, will say to me, you got this, Mom, when I'm like, and I'm like, nah, God's got this. None of this, you got this. God's got this. That's who's got it. That's who's got to have it. And it requires trust. If we're going to rest, we've got to go, okay, that means I've got to let go of some things, maybe for a few minutes, maybe for a day, maybe for a certain time. God can handle this. You know, he's telling me to rest. So obviously he knows if I rest, truly rest, do the right type of rest, not lazy, then he's got it and he's going to handle it. And it requires discipline, because we've got to stop our mind from spinning and focusing on everything that it doesn't need to be focusing on, and focusing in on his will and his promises. And that's a hard one for me, because when I go to bed at night, my brain switches on. I can be like about to pass out, and I lie down and I go, ding! What kind of disease do you have? Why is that lump on your shoulder? Why do gorillas have hair? You know, it's just stupid. And then you just start thinking of all these silly, and you're like, why? I want to go to sleep. And that's what happens. And so rest requires discipline. You've got to find a way to stop that mind from spinning. And I find focusing on the Word of God, listening to good music, I was going to mention that later, helps to refocus. If you can put something in that pushes that other out, you know what I mean? Put something in that's coming into you that's taking that away, so you can just stop. And everyone's always saying, listen to your body, you need to listen to your body. Yeah, okay. What about listen to your soul? Give your soul time to catch up. Listen to your soul. Recognize when your soul needs replenishing, when your soul needs refreshing, when it's time to be fed spiritually. Don't just use rest for physical benefit. Rest is for spiritual benefit. And so we don't just listen to our bodies, listen to our soul. It's a deeper thing. We need to listen to what God's trying to say to us. And Psalm 23 is a beautiful psalm. And because I'm losing my voice for a minute, I want to see how many of you can quote that, and we'll all quote it together. We'll see if we can read Psalm 23, if you can remember it. So, well, let's read that, or I'll read it, and you can quote it. Okay, I want it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Who finds that a really restful psalm? As soon as I read that psalm, it's just like my whole body just goes, and I sit by the green, you know, I sit by the still waters, and I sit in that green pastures, and I feel the Lord just filling me up. It's like a meditation, you know what I mean? It's just meditative. We don't have to go om and sit cross-legged, which I wouldn't be able to do. You know, we can read the psalm and just be filled up from the Lord, and I find it such a restful psalm. But then what jumped out to me was verse 2. He maketh me to lie down. Why does it say maketh? Why does God have to make us lie down in green pastures? Why doesn't it say, I lie down in green pastures? Because we don't take time to rest. That's why he has to make us rest. He says he makes us lie down. Come on, people, like babies, you know, little toddlers. I'm not tired. And it's like, yes, you are. Make them lie down. You know what's best, don't you? Usually, you know, your baby, your child is tired and they need rest. So you make them lie down. I don't care if you don't want to sleep on Sunday afternoon. You need one because you're going to be a horror tonight in church if you don't have a rest. We know that. The Lord says you're going to be a horror if you don't have rest. Lie down. Rest. And, you know, sometimes he has to force us to rest. How many times have you been forced to rest? God forced me to rest. He gave me pneumonia. I was flat on my back for weeks. And then I got chronic fatigue. And I was useless for years. I did what I could, but he forced me to rest. And you know what I did when I got into that state? What anybody can do. We didn't have Netflix and all that back then. I got into the Word of God. Because what was it that was going to refresh me? It wasn't murder mysteries that I liked reading. It wasn't some Women's Day or some whatever magazine. No. It's the Word of God. And that time that he forced me to rest, he said, okay, fine, you're not going to rest. I'm going to knock you down. And he did. And you know, that time was one of the biggest spiritual growth times in my life. Because I took time to read the Bible. I studied, I prayed, and I cried out to God. I said, why are you doing this to me? And then a couple of years ago, I went through a dark time again. Was the God telling me to rest again? Or was he just telling me, you need to go through this because other people, you're going to need help down the track. And you need experience this so you can help them. And you know what? Those times when God knocks you down, when God goes puts you through lockdown and you can't go out and do all these things, you can't go to work, you can't go and have coffee, your computer crashes, you can't get on the net, whatever it is, use those times wisely. Let your soul catch up then. God says, I'm going to knock your body down. Okay, fine, stop. Now let your soul catch up. Spend that time properly. Spend that time resting in the Lord. Spend that time learning from the Lord. Take that time. And it says in verse 3 that he will restore our soul. He repairs it. He refreshes it. He brings it back. He delivers us. And how do we give God the space to restore our souls? How do we find that rest? And it's so difficult. And I find, I read some things in a book and I sort of twisted it to my own, you know, like how I wanted. But we need to seek out a resting place. We need to find a place where we can feel rest, where we can rest. Somewhere that can keep life out and quiet in. Maybe that's your toilet. I was telling that to Bianca. Sometimes I had verses, I had things all over my toilet wall. It wasn't always, because usually the children would shove their school book under the door and go, Mom, can you school this? It's like, far out, I'm just trying to sit on the toilet. Like, so maybe that's not the best for you, but who knows? You know, you just don't know. Find that resting place, whether it's early in the morning, if you're able to do that, whether it's the couch in your lounge room, whether for me it's the roof. I climb up on the roof, and I love it. I look at God's creation, and I can just sit up there, and I can worship God. I listen to music, I can read, I can pray. Beautiful. But whatever it is, find a resting place. Okay, and it doesn't have to be hours. We read of some of these people from years ago, George Mueller, different ones, and we're like, what, they spent 4 hours in prayer every morning? Like, how am I going to do that? We don't have to try and live up to those expectations. We just find what works for us and what God will be happy with in our season of life and where God has us now. I know when my kids were little, I didn't even feel like I had 5 minutes. But now looking back, I realize I did, and I didn't take them. And I regret that. I regret that I didn't take those few minutes. When the kids went to sleep, I was like, oh, good, I can read a novel. Ooh. No, why didn't I take even 10 minutes to read the Word of God? They would have had a much nicer life, and I might not have yelled at them quite so much. But, you know, we need to seek that resting place, wherever it is, and we need to sit in God's presence and meditate on his Word and meditate on what he wants to teach you. Ask God to show you Pray and ask him, what it is, what do you want to show me, Lord? What do you want to teach me? What am I doing wrong? What am I doing right? Ask the Lord, soak in his word, read it, listen to it, and seek his will. Like I said, listen to that small voice. And you can't listen to that still small voice when the world is hollering in your ears. And when you're running busily, it just gets drowned out. You've got to find that space to just sit and listen to that quiet voice that was in that roaring wind of, was it Elijah or Elisha? One of those. You've got to listen to that still small voice. And, you know, I was thinking that when a bushfire happens, they often don't fight the fire directly. They go ahead of the fire and they cut down the trees and they build a fire break. In Catherine, we have bushfires over in Territory every year, so they go and do controlled burns. But all the properties, like legally, they have to have a fire break around their property. And that's so that when the fire reaches the fire break, it burns itself out. So when our schedules are burning out of control, we need to look ahead and we need to plan a day, a couple of days, whatever, so we can stop and regain our sanity. And this time off functions as a fire break. It's this, if we can plan ahead a rest break, sometimes just knowing there's a break coming can help us keep going. Knowing that I've got that day I'm going to take off next week, or I've got that 5 minutes tomorrow afternoon, I've got that half an hour when the kids are at swimming that I can sit in the car and read my Bible, whatever it is, plan it ahead. And, you know, we read about in the Old Testament about the Sabbath day of rest, and we're not under the law, but we do adhere to the Ten Commandments, and that's one of the Ten Commandments. And God keeps repeating it in the New Testament, that rest is important. And we don't adhere to the Sabbath like the Jews did, but it's still important. It's a good pattern for us to take that time off. And we need to go to our resting place, our solitary place, whatever it is. I find meditating on the Psalms is really good. Listening to the Psalms being read aloud, spending time just reading, worshipping, getting your life in perspective with God. And God's long-term design for us does include times of refreshment and recreation and renewal and rest for our body and our soul. And sometimes we think that we need to be like God and we've got to be everywhere at once. That's not his plan. We need rest. We're not God. We can't function effectively. God can be everywhere at once and he doesn't need to rest. We're not God. We need to rest. And we need to enjoy creation. That's a big thing for me, because I feel like I said, I just am so worshipful when I'm enjoying God's creation. I call it rooftop worship, which is what I do, because I go and sit on my rooftop and I watch the clouds roll in, or I watch the sunset or the cockatoos flying over, whatever it is, and it just brings that calm, that little bit of quiet, that little bit of time to just think and to pray and to just take that time out. And we need to enjoy creation. God didn't put those beautiful sunsets in the sky so that we could walk around looking at our phones all day. You know what I mean? Like, we've got other things we can look up and we can and look around. You know, I like to take photos of them all. And yes, because my husband's always like, why aren't you enjoying it? I'm like, this is how I enjoy it. I want to capture these memories, because when I capture them, that's how I remember them. I sit and I enjoy it, but I take photos because then I can relive them again later. And I put verses in, I look at them and I go, oh, that was such a beautiful, I remember that time. And that was a time when I was dealing with this or that. You know, sometimes these things help. It's whatever it is. And for me, I'm very musical, and so I listen to a lot of music. And I find listening to uplifting music, whatever that is for you, I'm not even going to go into that, okay? But whatever the worship music, whatever it is that will help you, you know, we know that music has ability to calm the body and the mind. Look at Saul and David playing the harp for Saul. Like, he calmed him down. And, you know, you play music to babies. You know, they've done so many medical tests about music calming and helping people through illnesses and stuff. But it can help us spiritually and in that time of rest if we're listening to something that's edifying, that's going to help us and that's just going to relax us and help us. For me, I listen to worship music that just draws me closer to the Lord and makes me want to worship him and makes me want to think about him and praise him and thank him for all these things. And we've got to make opportunities to do those things, and we need to make opportunities to have relational quiet times, in other words, communicating with important people in our lives and taking time to switch off the noise of the world, whether it means you have to physically put your phone away and enjoy the company of your friend, your husband, you know, whoever it is, just taking that time to have those quiet times with other people. This is a relational quiet time, really. We as ladies are getting together. We're listening to the word of God. We're trying to learn something that's going to be able to be applied to our lives that can help us. And we're taking that time and we're sharing. You know, on a Sunday, if you're sharing what God's shown you throughout the week, look at this verse I read and look at what God's teaching me and what do you think about this? Christian fellowship is so important. And we need to be in the word, but we need to be supporting each other, especially as women. We just need to be encouraging each other, helping each other, and encouraging each other to rest. You know, if you see one of you that's frazzled, and hey, how about we go for a coffee? Let's go and have a break. Let's go sit on Halloran's Hill and have a pizza. You know what I mean? Just take that time to just have that rest. We've got to make time to rest. It doesn't just happen naturally. It's not just going to fall in our laps unless God knocks us down, like I said, and then we can use that time totally, you know, waste it totally, or we can use it properly. And the reason I wrote this here, because one of my favourite authors is a lady called Cindy McMenamin, and I've read all her books, and they're really good, and she had this in one of her books, for rest, and she said, realise was the first one, realise he is in control, God is in control, and you are not. Let God determine the pace that we travel. The speed that we travel is not as important as who's in control of our travel. God's the one that needs to be in control of our travel and what we're doing. So we need to realize that he's in control. E was expect. Expect him to come through. Expect great things from God. Look for his deliverance. And experience his peace while you wait. I was texting Bianca about praying big. And we need to expect big things from God. Why do we have to think we can only expect little things? God is a great God. When did we have to stop asking him for big things? No, we can expect great things from God. If we ask according to his will and he wants to give it to us, he will. And we need to expect great things from God. Surrender. The S was for surrender. Surrender your strategy. We've got to surrender our plans to God. So many times we pray our plan to God. It's like, got my plan, Lord? Here. This is, no, let God, you know, get a blank page and let him fill in your plan. So many times we order our day and we've got it all just perfect. I'm really bad about this. And you get it, and then God just goes, meh. You're like, what are you doing? I was going to go here, I was going to go there, and then I was going to do this, and you've messed it all up. Well, maybe we should sit down in the morning and say, God, how do you want me to do this day? Do you want me to visit this person? Do I need to go and do this job? Do I need to just surrender your plan to God? Let God be in charge of it. And trust. I said rest requires trust. And this next step to rest is to trust. So by resting on him and resting in him, we're going to start relaxing and we're going to wait on him in faith and we're going to listen to him, and we've really got to trust and take that time. Charles Spurgeon, who you've probably heard of, a great old preacher, said, rest time is not waste time. It is economy to gather fresh strength. In the long run, we shall do more by sometimes doing less. How often do we see that? We try and do everything, and we do everything poorly, or we do one thing well. How often does that happen? You know what I mean? I find that sometimes, I don't know anyone here, but I find that sometimes with people who play like 15 musical instruments. They play them all, but none of them are played with proficiency and finesse. And sometimes if they focus on one or two, they've got that. You know what I mean? And I find sometimes we try and do so much, and we'd do so much better if we did less. And I know that's easy to say because I'm useless at this, because I'm doing so many things, and I wear not just the hat, I wear the whole outfit. No, I don't wear just one. I've got the whole, like that chocolate vomit game, and you've got to put all the gear on, and so then you're running, and then it's falling off, and you're picking it back up and putting it on and put the boot on. That's how I feel. I don't just wear one hat. I wear the whole thing. And it's just, and sometimes you just do too much, and sometimes you need to stop and go, what is it that I should let go? What is it that's taking my eyes off you? And sometimes, you know what, sometimes it's a church thing, it's a ministry that you're doing, and it's taking your focus off God. How is that? If your ministries are taking you away from your family and what you should be doing and neglecting, give them back to the devil. Because it's the devil that's making you so busy that you're neglecting the important things. And yes, God is the most important, but he expects you to love your families and look after your families and treat them well. And I see rest as a weapon given to us by God. God gave us this weapon of rest. We've got the armor. We've got the full armor. We read about the breastplate, the feet, all these things. But the enemy hates it when we rest because he wants us stressed. He wants us occupied. He wants us busy. I once heard a sermon that was busy, being under Satan's yoke. And I thought, ooh, dear. The devil knows that if we're worked to exhaustion, we're not going to make time for God. He wants to keep us busy, 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 and neglecting our quiet time, neglecting our worship time, neglecting our prayer life, neglecting those that are important in our lives, our families, our friends, our church family. We can get so busy that we neglect them. And we can use this rest as a weapon against the devil. And I'm all for looking for weapons against that devil, I'll tell you. When I went through my dark time, I would sit down in my storeroom in the dark and I would shout at the devil. I would yell at him, tell him to leave me alone. And I would tell him that I had God and he had the victory and you're already defeated, devil. You can just go back where you belong. Because I had weapons that I could fight him with. And you know what I've just learned? Rest is a weapon. We can use that. Because we take rest, we build our energy, we get our power from God to keep going. We re-energize, we fill our hearts and minds with the words of Scripture, and we get up and we fight again. And rest is a weapon. You can use it as a weapon against the devil because he doesn't want you using that. He wants you busy. Even if you're busy in the church, he wants you busy because he thinks, okay, they're going to get so busy, they're going to get burnt out. They're not going to be able to do anything effectively. They're going to be too tired to serve others. They're going to get snappy with people. They're going to have a bad attitude. Their family's going to suffer. Everything, oh, good. And he's rubbing his hands together. But when he sees us stop, get on our knees in prayer, fall at the feet of Jesus and start praying and asking God for help and saying, Lord, what do you want me to do? He goes, oh, boy. Nope, we don't want that. Quick, distract them. Neighbors make a big ruckus. Kids drop some glasses on the floor. He's going to try and distract you. So he doesn't want, we've got to take that time to rest and use that as a weapon. And we need to catch our breath and just give our souls time to catch up. We need to just push, pause. We can't press stop because we know we have to keep going, don't we? Pause is there for a reason. You pause, you take a time out, then you pause again and it goes back, doesn't it? And I just feel like we need to just push, pause, stop. Whatever it is that will make you take that time out and focus on God. Don't just rest physically and go, okay, I'm going to have sleep. That's a good thing. But take time out to rest in the Word of God, rest in His promises, read His Word, pray, ask for His wisdom. Take time out to fellowship together. Don't just talk about the weather and the children. Find times to talk about the Word of God and what God's showing you in the Word of God. And give that devil a nice poke with the sword of rest. I don't know what I'm going to... I'll have to think of a weapon to relate it to, but because he needs it. He needs us to realize that we're going to take time to rest and God's going to help us. And if we take that time and we ask the Lord, he will give us those times. And if we're serious about resting and using our rest time wisely, he will give us those opportunities. And he does. You just got to have your eyes open to listen for them. Because sometimes we think, oh, I just didn't have any time today. And then you go, oh, I was waiting for like 10 minutes on hold with Centrelink. Whatever, you know what I mean? I could have just been reading my Bible, you know? You know, like, oh, I had that few minutes my kid was at swimming, or I had 5 minutes in the toilet alone. You know what I mean? You've got those times. You just got to grab them when you can see them. Don't let them slip through your fingers, because those are the times. You're not going to always have an hour or 2 hours. None of us really do. I very rarely get that time. But when I do, I really try and grab hold of it and try not to let things distract me. But just push pause for a little bit and realize that God's in control and expect God to do big things. Surrender your plans to him and trust in the next step. Trust in him to guide you step by step. And that's all I have. I can pray. Okay, I will pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you that we can learn about this. Thank you that for the lessons that you've taught me on rest, and that I am learning very slowly to rest, but I am learning. And I thank you that I had this opportunity to speak with these ladies. I pray that you would drive these points into their hearts and minds, and they will take time out this week to rest and to gain spiritual food and just to really grow, and that they would encourage each other and be edifying and be helping each other. If they see somebody that's struggling, that they would help them and just encourage them to take that time out, and that they would rest on your promises, they'd rest in their salvation, and just know that you are there and that you command them to take this time out, and that they would just be able to grow stronger and just have a stronger walk with you, and just be a shining light to all who are around them, so that people want to know about this hope that lies within them. I just thank you for this tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.